The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
Torreway, Northwest London, Sunday, Yud Zayin Elul, 6th of September, Harav Zalman Roth, Facing Yerushalayim, But in Which Direction, Part 2.
Good morning. Prior to coming to part two, I will briefly summarize what we spoke about last week. So that the context of what we speak about today is well understood. We started with the Gemur in Bruchas Daf Lamed, where the Gemur says a person that he davens should face Yerushalayim. We showed that the Etzem, this itself was a Machlekes Tanuim, possibly according to certain shittes, we should be facing west, like the Beis HaMikdash or the Kol Riach. But it, even once it was established that we face Yerushalayim, this is a push at what it means, because not always do we have the choice of a clear and direct Ruach. So what do we then do in places like England or most of Europe, where our direction should be southeast? We explained that the Levish is the first to talk about it. And the Levish says, indeed, the person needs to be mechaven to daven specifically to the angle towards Yerushalayim. But then others are chaylik on him, and they say that even the Lechav Chila, this is the correct approach. But by the fact that most shuls, all the shuls in Europe prior to the Levish, were not built on an angle and rather built towards a specific direction, there has to be a hezber and a sibbe and a limit chis on that. And we explained a few mahalchim in it, either that it is possible to pick one of the two ways. So if you are supposed to face southeast, you either pick east or south, or that it depends on the direction of travel where you initiate the travel, you go and you pick that direction. Or like the Chashichon says, it was never meant to be specific, and you daven in the general direction to Yerushalayim. And a few other such mahalchim, we described, or you pick the one closest to the Ruach, where you can be melamed chis in places where it's not shaykh to daven towards a specific angle. We also spoke about the ancient shuls in Eretz Yisrael, who prior to the Churban seemed to be all facing west, and afterwards start facing Yerushalayim. And I shared the theory, the hypothesis, that possibly after the Churban, the shita that we faced towards Yerushalayim became dominant, like all things Zayich HaMikdash after the Churban Abayit. And Lahalocha, the Mishneh Berurah is very much noted like the Levish and says this is the shit we have to follow. The Choshechon says is more Michael. And the very Tzfakum of the Achronim, even circumstances were in because of the way the shuls are set or the seats in the shul, you can be Michael and be noted not specifically to the right angle. This is where we ended off last week. However, the MS we think about it, we realize that if the Gedank is to face Yerushalayim, considering that the world is round, the world is a globe, L'chore, what does it matter what direction you face? If you're supposed to face east, but if you can likely just face just as much west. Because ultimately, even if you travel westward, you still come to Yerushalayim. So imagine here in England, instead of facing in the southeast direction, let us face west-north. That also faces Yerushalayim. What does that do there? It sounds ridiculous. But ultimately, there's a test. Elamai, we have to define when we say face Yerushalayim, I mean, in some form of optimal direction, in the best way to face Yerushalayim. So what is that best way? So we start with the Kasha, which is first brought down. Well, it's asked by several, but the first Makar is the Minas Chachomim asks on the Levish the Kasha. However, this Kasha is written in somewhat of a complicated way. It needs the Akdumah to understand the Kasha. And the text on that Kasha will also answer our question and define specifically how we face Yerushalayim. And this, it was written so difficult that many later Achronim write that they don't understand what he wants. But ultimately, this kasha, the Minas Rachumim, is the way that the Shechem Chayav paskens, and the way that the Yavet Samarik Tzil paskens, and it's a way which is very much a setzel aloha. Now, to understand this kasha, I ask you please to look on the pages in front of you on picture number 9. This has no shaykhis to our noisa directly. Yishalayim is not here on the map at all. Rather, it's an extreme example which illustrates the point. The red on this picture, is the flight pathway of the long haul flight from New York to Hong Kong or vice versa. It is not the longest flight in the world, but it's one of the longer ones. 16 hours plus. If you look at the flight path, you see that you fly from Hong Kong, you seem to be traversing the entire North Pole, coming back down to New York. The Sayach Elisha would have said to follow the black line, to cross the North Pacific, the entire continental United States, and land in New York. Why instead do you fly ultimately north, China, Russia, then suddenly bear sharply down south over the United States, over the North Pole of the United States, and coming back to New York? And this is the flight path. No, the tendency is that all the maps that we're used to seeing are always two-dimensional. And when you take the shape of the globe and need to translate it into a two-dimensional shape, certain choices must be made, and distortions happen. However, being that we mostly look at a two-dimensional flat map, that's the image we have in our mind. So the emes, considering that the world is a globe, you could well imagine that the round shape means that oftentimes the path that seems obvious on a flat map is natural on a globe. Wherein traveling up to the North Pole is a shorter distance. And I'll show you an example in a moment. But principally, we cannot rely just on the way things look on the map to determine to us what is the best path. Incidentally, the difference between the black line and the red line is hours. It is many more hours to travel in the direction over the North Pacific rather than traveling via the North Pole. So if you turn, for instance, to picture 10, the opposite side of the page, you'll see how on a globe, this extreme path seems very logical. You can see how from Hong Kong to New York, looking at it from the globe, from the perspective of these two cities, the quickest way is actually to travel through the North Pole. It is only, as I said, the fact that we have a picture of maps in our mind, which always put the North Pole at top and the South Pole on the bottom, and it's flat, two-dimensional, spread out, that gives us the wrong impression. So once we understand this principle, we understand that this is called the Great Circle, which means that if you can test it to yourself with a piece of string at home, you can look at a globe, and we'll give some more examples soon. On a globe, the quickest way to travel between two points is to find a circle which traverses the entire globe and basically divides the globe in half. And if you can plot the two cities across this line, this is the distance, the quickest distance to travel across the globe. And I'll show you soon, but basically, if you think about it, if you can always tilt the globe towards yourself, you'll see that the line which faces you in a straight direction, that is the straight line to travel. Other lines are veering off the straight path and take you, in the case of Hong Kong to New York, should you want to travel in the black line, you are basically veering to the right and going a much longer way to get to the same place. Now, the emphasis is that all this wasn't a gaya until very recently. Because, obviously, when you travel short distances, there's no great difference between the Great Circle and a straight line, which is known as the Rum Line. There's no difference much at all. And even when it was understood conceptually, you could imagine that if a person is traveling from Europe to China, the path of travel is set where you can find food, and shelter, and security. The fact that you can have some more distances from one way to the other doesn't really matter. And even when ships started sailing to the east, prior to the Suez Canal, they had to travel around Africa. And again, there was no choice. You travel the path you had in front of you. And even ships later on made choices, as I'll mention in a moment. It is only, I would say specifically, it's the advent of air travel when these things start mattering, because the cost of fuel and the ability not to be bound by the geography of the earth, you can fly anywhere you want, where the great circle to great precedent by becoming the best way to travel across the globe. So now let's start moving to something which is Nagali in 90. Look at picture 11. I'm using New York as an example, not because I was born there, but rather because it provides enough distance to show the differences. Look at a flight path from New York to London. The large arch in red is the way that most of us, when we travel, when we used to travel, this is the way a plane would fly. Despite the fact that, as mentioned before, on a two-dimensional map, the straight line would have been to travel from New York straight on with the black line to Israel. The same is true also from London. It's not as extreme. But if you see the black line taking you from London to Yerushalayim is what you think on a map is the correct path, and yet planes would travel on the red line, which takes you a bit further east over Belgium and Austria, Serbia, and so on. Likewise, if you turn to page 12, you'll see how it looks on a map. And this is what I mentioned before. On the map itself, you see, on a globe itself with apologies, you see that the path from New York to Yerushalayim seems to be an arch. But look in 13. Imagine tilting the globe towards you. Look how this is a straight path. It is the same path. It is only because we always keep the North Pole on top and the South Pole on the bottom, as in picture 12, that we get the distortion that it seems to be a longer path. But in actuality, tilt it towards you, and you'll see that this is the emis, the correct and closer path. It looks weird because we're not used to seeing the United States in this way and Europe in such a shape. But this is the correct path in front of us. So now, looking at this map, you start realizing why I said before that it's something which is more to do with air travel. Because one of the things that led to the sinking of the Titanic was that ship navigators knew for generations that the quickest way to travel, say, from London to New York, is by moving in what looks to be on a map, in northward direction, up towards the North Pole and coming back down, because this is the Great Circle. But they've avoided traveling extreme north because of icebergs and the treacherous waters there. But the captain of the Titanic, in his haste to try to break a record, to get to New York as quickly as possible, took a chance. And went the path, perhaps not perfectly Great Circle, but as close as possible to the Great Circle, so as to shave off a few hours, possibly a day, on the way to New York. And this is one of the things that led to the sinking of it, why you very rarely find ships today travel as far north on the way to New York. It was the correct path, but it was dangerous. And these are the choices that had to be made to trade off speed and the safety of travel, which again does not apply in air travel. So as I said before, if you go back to picture number three, when we looked at the Makor of the Gemurah in Bava Basra, Rav Ashi or Rav Yashi were told how to face, by Rav Chanina, how to face Yerushalayim. So you'll see that here too, I plotted the black line, which is what we'd expect in a two-dimensional map, and the great circle, which is the red line. But realize that here the difference is very, very small, because the closer you are to a city, the less different it matters. Which is why the Shalom, the Paskim that we're going to raise now, wasn't a Geya until very recently. Because from anywhere in Europe, if there is a difference, it's very small. And from Bovel, obviously even smaller. So the Shalom only started much later. So now we come to the Kasha of the Menachem Chaim. The Menachem Chaim says as follows. The Levish says as follows. Veda. Shebechol ha'aretz ha'tzu'ah, in all these lands, ha'shu'un yishachlim hen, that we live in, which is to say, Europe. Kilam. They're all in a southern and northwest direction from Eretz Yisrael. And they're not exactly miles. And therefore, he says, Nelly, it is mostly true for Europe. It's true. But it's not principally true. Because you cannot say that any position on the globe, which is faced in a northwest position to Yerushalayim, you should always daven southeast. Why is that? Because look at New York. Let's go back to our flight path. Let's go back to
Kol HaLashon.
Flight path from New York. in picture number 11, if a Yid is standing in New York, the Levish says, being that New York is northwest of Yerushalayim, which direction should he face? Southeast. Perhaps it's not as extreme southeast as England, because it's not as north to Yerushalayim, but nevertheless, the overall direction of Tfilah should be southeast. But look at the red line. It faces not south in southeast, it faces northeast. So surely, if the Gedank of Tfilah is to face Yerushalayim, facing Yerushalayim in New York, you should be davening northeast and southeast. Because we just established a straight line, as determined by the fact that this is the shortest distance, and this is where you would ideally want to travel by ship, which you could walk on water, or fly, is this direction, and this is the Derech HaYusha, this is the straight path. So, not like the Levish seems to indicate that New York pushed the Shadavan southeast, you're supposed to have a northeast. This is the Kasha. And the embassy, look in the earlier Tosca who came to America, just one example, I'm not saying them out, but Chivis by Uvi, it's available. He says, the Levish says, you daven southeast, and he advises the Kehillah, which was in Chicago, that yes, make sure that your direction of the Kodesh is southeast. But as you can see on the map, it should have been northeast. So Mizchum is Chalik on the Levish. He says, the Levish, obviously, so he seems to indicate he wasn't aware of this. We'll come back to that in a moment, of course. And therefore, no. You always daven according to the Great Circle, the shortest path, and Enochanamataka from New York, one with daven, northeast. And if you look at picture number 14, you'll see, Takadishchilik, if you look at the rum line, the black line, the direction of travel from New York is 96 degrees. So 90 degrees would have been perfectly east, but being that it's it's northern to Esisro, to Yerushalayim, they have a 96 degrees, which is to say with a small tilt towards the south. But look at the direction of travel according to the Great Circle, the direction of Tfilah, 54 degrees, a massive difference. You have a northeast. And if this is true in New York, it is all the more true in Los Angeles. Look at picture 15 right underneath that. In Los Angeles, because of the distance, your rum line, the black line, is almost perfectly eastward. But if you look at the Great Circle distance, you're traveling, you are davening far more north. And Take, if you look in picture 16, you'll see the difference. And in 17, you have a 91 east, which is almost perfectly eastward if you follow the rum line, the black line. But 24 degrees, which is so, it's mamish more north than east if you follow the Great Circle. So you can imagine that if we were now in Los Angeles, if you follow the rum line, you would have mamish to this will completely east, and otherwise you travel north. Mamish to Zudan. So the chilik, I said, okay, well, that's a very good nakid. Because they're not flight sets, the tefillah is the Eibishter can recover them from wherever we are, and they don't need to travel in a short distance in order to arrive. But the flight path is only a simon, it's not a siddur. In the sense that, I started with the kasha before and I asked, why cannot a person here in this shul, instead of davening this way, daven that way? Ultimately, you'll come to the same place, the Yerushalayim. So the Becherich we have to define, when the Mordechai says, Yechav and Libali Yerushalayim, you have to face Yerushalayim, it means in the shortest distance. Let the Digdik and the Gemurah to daven towards northeast, it means we pick the optimal path. And you saw, yes, last week you mentioned that Chassam Sefer says you always pick the direction of travel. What did he mean by that? He meant to say that we pick the path which is the closest to Yerushalayim. So close has two meanings. Because one close is to say that if we're placed eastward, it's always east, and if it's south, it's southeast. But the other one also is in the place where it is the closest to Yerushalayim. Because otherwise, like, you can have other directions. So the only reason not to daven here in England to this path is because davening here is a closer path to Yerushalayim. But if the definition is closer path, then surely the Great Circle is the closest. And that is why it's not about that it's a shorter distance, but this is the ultimate fulfillment of the lips of the Gemurah that everybody davens towards Yerushalayim. realize that this din has no shaykhis to what we mentioned last week, what happens in a place like England, do we face east or southeast and so on. Because Los Angeles is a good example. In Los Angeles, mitzad al-Raman, there's no machlokes. Los Angeles is 270 degrees west of it's a shul. He's supposed to daven 90 degrees. Everybody's moide. If you ignore the question of the Great Circle, it is a direct eastward line to Yerushalayim. It's perfect. But is it eastward? So even if you mekabel, like we said, like the Tosfos Yontif, that you can pick any tzad that you want, or you say we go to the closest tzad, it says no shachas to the Shabbat. It's perhaps exacerbated in such cases. But even when you have a perfect north line, or east, or west, you mamash on the compass facing Yerushalayim, the kashish tel tech mechals to say, are you indeed facing in the right direction, or do you need to veer in a different path, which is the shorter path to Yerushalayim? So before we come to talking about the Kodesh Green and our shuls here, the kashish tel tech mechals Levish has one major problem. Because all this being about the trigonometry on a sphere, there's another place in Halacha where this is discussed in great length, and that is Nichas Kedesh HaChodesh. There's a sefer right here in the upper shelf called Shekel HaKodesh Rav Chaim Kanievsky and Kedesh HaChodesh, which is marked by the Kintas of the Chazanish, he wrote the Kedesh HaChodesh, and this is, I remember once the professor of mathematics told me that spherical trigonometry, the trigonometry of the sphere, is mostly common in Jewish ancient books because of Kedesh HaChodesh. We mostly use the trigonometry of the plane, and the geometry and trigonometry of the sphere is completely different. The basic rule that we all grew up knowing that a triangle never has more than 180 degrees is not sure in a triangle on a sphere. There's different rules altogether. And the Levish himself wrote aside for Kiddush HaChodesh, and he addresses the point of the great circle and is well aware of it. So if he knew about it, why didn't he paskin accordingly? But the Tanya says, when you travel on a plane, the bearing direction is always the same. So if you're bearing south, you're traveling in a straight line. And if you're bearing north, you're traveling in a very straight line. And if your bearing changes along your travel line, then that means you travel either right or left. But on the globe, it's different. Bearing and heading are not the same thing. Because the great circle, you're always heading in the same direction. That's where the shortest path, by definition. Not going right or left means that you're in a straight path. But it's not always the same bearing. Because in comparison to north, you're traveling sometimes more northwardly, sometimes southerly, and so on. And the master, in ancient times, prior to the advent of computers, when they traveled, when they wanted to use the Great Circle, how would captains do it? They would plot short distances. Okay, for a few hours, we're going to travel 24 degrees. And then we're going to travel 4 hours, 20 degrees. They understood this, that you have to keep on changing the direction of travel. When you travel with a rum line, it's longer, but you can hold your compass and not move. If a person goes to Los Angeles to Yerushalayim, he sets his compass to 91 degrees, the longer he keeps it straight, he'll get to Yerushalayim. Traveling the Great Circle doesn't exist. So Yichmayim Mekanzugim, that when we say straight, Yidanki asked earlier, who said the flight path matters? Nichmayim was on the question, and this is our achievement. The straightness of the flight path is that you're always heading in the same direction, which is why it is the shortest path. But your bearing keeps on changing. You're starting northeast, you become more northwardly, you come back down, look at the pictures, it's right in front of you. When you travel to Yerushalayim with your own mind, it's a longer path, but the bearing is always the same. So says the Levish, Mani Aymalon, that it's about traveling in the place which is the shortest, which the heading is always the same. Maybe you should always bear in the same direction. It's straight in the sense that if I go from here to there, I'm always following in the exact same degree. And because in Tfilah, I face myself in one direction, what I'm saying is, I'm thinking of you, of the Basam English, because if I were to continue walking like this, which is not doing davening, I would come to Yerushalayim at this path. So the length of the distance doesn't matter. So it's really a shal of bearing versus heading. And just in the Sabbath Sohism, you can think of it, when, you know, you close the north circle on the side when you have the overpass. There's no path to go on the ground, so you have to go up. You're still traveling in the same direction, but you're going up and down. This is like the Great Circle. You are going, you're bearing in different places, it's shorter. But the straightness of the path is not determined, but you're still climbing up and climbing down. You're still climbing to the North Pole and coming back down. It's shorter, but your bearing is not always consistent. And that's the mala of the Levish's mahalach, which is why it's not that he's pushed, he didn't see the shala of the great circle, or rather paskin, that this is not what matters. It matters to be always in the same bearing versus north. So somebody wrote to me last week that he suspects that the monks of Smedrish, having had the freedom to be built in a particular angle, unlike Moshe's, was mechavan to a certain shittim. And they're right, it's takaze. Because most of the shuls here in Golden Green, on Golden Green Road, and mostly on Bridge Lane, which is almost parallel, but not so specifically, be of 110 degrees on the compass. And if you will, please look at picture number 18, which shows you the direction of tefillah in Golden Green. And you'll see that being that we're not so far from Yishalayim, the difference is not as extreme. They're both southeast. But if you follow the great circle, which is to say the Shit of the Menet Chachomim and the Shechnu Chayav and the Mariuk Tziu, the Yavitz, you should be facing 114 degrees southeast. And if you follow the Ram line, then it will be 127 degrees. So Moshe, as mentioned, on the Golden Shul Road, faced about 110 degrees, and this is true also for the Shul here, which is not perfect, but as the way Shul goes and the constraints of building is very good. In some places in the world, the extremes are much, much, much more different. When we dive in Asasiz, because it was located, we are much, much more suddenly than most shuls in Golden Green are much more. Another 10 degrees, but nevertheless, the gap is much greater. But if you go to Munch, you'll see that Munch is exactly 127 degrees southeast. So having had the freedom, seemingly the Paschim were passing them when they built the shul, took the mahalach of the Ram line, and it built specifically. But then again, the small shul adjacent to the hall, not having built the Mechivin, is 135 degrees. It's very too much south. And we are lucky in that sense. So if somebody wants to be Mechavim to Davnat, you don't have to, then the direction of Tefillah is slightly to the right in this shul, according to the Ram line, and quite more to the right, according to the Great Circle. 127 is a bit more in the direction, to the right. Because effectively, it's more to the south, a bit more to the south. The Rama is more extreme that way. Yeah, exactly. And the Great Circle is only slightly so. So to finish up with one point, there's a concept called the antipode. Every place on the globe has a point 180 degrees on the other side of the globe, which if you theoretically tunnel through the globe, you reach that point. The specific point, against, which is Mechivin HaKevin Yishalayim, is a point, as you see in picture 19, a point in the South Pacific Ocean. Now, at this point on the globe, the Emet, there's no direction of tefillah. Because if you imagine a person stands at the North Pole and wants to get to the South Pole, there's no short distance or long distance. Wherever you go to is the exact same way. You can go in any point. It's always going to be 100 degrees to get to the point in the South Pole. So now, if you think of Yishalayim being at the top, and this point in the South Pacific being the bottom, it's the same thing. You can have North, East, South, West.
New Zealand.
What does it matter? It is 180 degrees. You have to pick.
That's the quickest route.
Why shouldn't
it go through the globe rather than?
Oh, we take consideration. And every time we daven, what is the option? But there's that shechanurich. So that's one place where the emes can daven everywhere. So the emes
New Zealand
is close, but not close enough to this point. So if you find yourself once traveling on a cruise from Santiago in Chile to Sydney in Australia, and reach that point, know that of them with the Gemara's look, that's the one place we cannot come in. So many of the rabbis say, by the famous story of the Bazak Rebbeikel from Krukel, who went to Prague to find the Oitzer and found it in his own house, we can always be Machavan our lives. That Nikita we can do even if we're not in the exact antipode point. So the Zichat Zutzenavo is that we always face the Shalayim, but whether it's 127, 114, the Ike guys who was the Ligbeins and Hartzen and the Kmita the Besa Migdash. But I would say that if you daven at that point, you daven the Kivan Mariv, because if you lack any other choice, we go back to the Makar the way it was in Besa Migdash, and we face westward. Yeshikai.
The shiur you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the Rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.